Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show, where Christina is dominating the guys and returning to the green room for those that are not the green room, returning from the green room for those of you keeping track of the ever important, heated competition of returning to the recording studio. I mean, obviously, it's like the World Cup and then this race. That's pretty much how this is going in order of importance in the world right now. But Benjamin is still, yeah, completely dominating. So I'm going to have to figure out your prize because I said the end of the year I would award something to somebody. We have with us Christina Korp, the astronaut wrangler, who also started a foundation which she wanted to basically utilize to kind of highlight other people and other projects and other things to demonstrate the importance of space and space exploration and how it affects us on a day-to-day basis. And I did actually hear you mention in your Maldives video the overview effect, and that was something that you wanted to highlight, as well as this experience that so many astronauts have when they go to space, is they realize this precious connectivity that we all have, and that is this shared planet with this very thin little blue line that is our atmosphere that separates us from space. And something that I like to say a lot to people when I do outreach in the various ways that I do is that we have this idea when we're on Earth, it's so small that it's like, we're on Earth and out there, that's out there is space. But we're a part of space. Like, Earth is a part of space. We're part of this whole just amazing thing. I mean, Kavi started with saying that we have calcium in our bones because of exploding stars. It's incredible. And I think the overview effect just like cements that into astronauts' brains when they experience that overview effect, and just you see this fragility of what our planet is. And so I think it's a really beautiful, beautiful idea to go around the world with astronauts and highlight, you know, the beauty of our planet, and from these people who got to see it from high above. And so through this and all of your adventures, you get to meet a lot of astronauts, which you've been telling us about. You mentioned Dr. Proctor and this kind of special bond that the women have. And I wanted to comment on that really quick because I had somewhat of a similar thought and experience. And I'm sorry, guys, maybe close your ears. When I went to base camp, I went to Everest base camp last year, to base camp one. And no, I'm just saying it's a real thing. And I got my period like the first day we headed out on the mountain. And you're hiking all day with no access to bathrooms. And I'm like, you know what? No one said anything in any YouTube video I watched about how to manage your waste when you're on like the mountain.
And I think, you know, so to kind of come back to like why I started Space for a Better World is, first of all, you know, here I am hanging out with these Apollo astronauts, and often all these guys, and then just me in the room. And that's when I would come back and talk to people, and they're like, man, you got to be documenting this. And I really didn't take it seriously, I have to admit. I mean, it was just my job. I was dazzled by like, wow, I get to be here and meet President Obama and get to go with the Apollo 11 crew. You know, I got to do a lot of cool things, which, by the way, I mean, I asked to go too. They didn't just say, hey, you want to come along? It was me usually saying, hey, can I come? I'll volunteer. I'm not going to,
yeah,
you know. I'll pay my own money, whatever.
Like, because I volunteer as tribute. I know it's tough. It's a tough
job. Yeah. Well, and so people are always surprised, like when things happen, when you're like, no, they didn't invite me. I asked to go, you know? So that's something that often people need to understand too, that things don't just happen to you. Usually you have to make them happen or find a way.
Sure.
But that's where too, like you've got Sally Ride there on your wall. And, you know, in the first year and a half that I worked with Buzz, we did a Louis Vuitton campaign with Buzz and Jim Lovell and Sally Ride. And so that was pretty cool to be there for that shoot. Same thing. I asked, can I come to that shoot? Because I would not have been able to go. I was working for Buzz and his wife and her daughter at the time. And so later though, when I, you know, started working, when I took over Buzz's life, when he divorced that woman, then he became like my kid and I had to take over running his life. Really? No, that's a whole other story. But what I was going to say is that, you know, I have five brothers. I'm one of 10 children. And I am, you know, one of the middle kids. And you're very resourceful. You learn how to make your way when you're a middle kid of 10 kids. And so I am actually grateful that it was that way, because I joke about it bordering on neglect. And this is why I'm quite resourceful, quite independent. But it's also why I can hold my own in a room full of men. So I never felt intimidated by being in a room full of Apollo astronauts. I never felt like, wow, I don't deserve to be here, because I was like, these are just a bunch of, like, my brothers in old form, you know?
Sure.
So, but it, after a while I did realize I am here with all these guys. Where are the ladies? And then I began to meet, you know, Joanne Morgan, the first woman to work in mission control. I bet we did some things with Mae Jemison, the first Black woman in space. You know, I started meeting, yeah, these different women who were the pioneers of space, and realizing, wow, you know, these ladies, sure, sometimes they get kind of recognized, but not anywhere near the level that the guys do. And that's what, towards the end, especially for the Apollo 50th anniversary, I highlighted, we honored Joanne Morgan, that first woman. And I hadn't met Poppy Northcutt yet, but I became aware of her at that point. And so the 100th anniversary of women's right to vote came up in 2020. And I thought, I'm going to start doing things to honor women, because here I am surrounded by these men who are icons, but there are a lot of amazing women, especially in space. And maybe I could start trying to draw attention to what they've done, and in a way that hopefully will get people to recognize their contributions. And so, again, because I hang out with astronauts, though, I get to meet a lot of these people, which, you know, aren't there. I'm in a privileged position because of my access with astronauts and stuff, I get to meet a lot of these people, but they also see what I'm doing. And that's why, so I want to get back to the Aim Higher thing, because that's why I've had so much support from the women. Is that my favorite moon landing came from two sisters in Turkey. Literally every day being with astronauts, you hear people's moon landing memories, especially with Buzz. So every breakfast, every time we'd walk into a hotel or get on a plane or be anywhere at any event, someone had to share their moon landing memory. And it got to the point where Buzz would say, hold on, Christina's going to record you. So I have a lot of them where people are telling Buzz Aldrin their memory, which is really wonderful. Aww. And heartwarming. And someday I'll do something with all of that. I wanted to do like a documentary about it. And the funny thing is, people are like, oh, it's too heartwarming, you need some drama. And I'm like, I think people need some good news sometimes. But but the one I didn't record, which I'm regretful, but it has just always stayed with me, was these women had hired Buzz to give a speech in Nashville, Tennessee. And when we were in the green room, it was a breakfast speech. They said, now we can tell you our moon landing memory. We were young girls in Turkey. The younger sister was 8 at the time and 12 years old during the moon landing. And they said, we lived in a village with no running water, no electricity. Our mother couldn't read or write. And our father only had a 5th grade education, but he was so inspired by the Apollo missions. And he read the newspaper every day. So he saved up money and bought a Grundig radio. And so the night that Apollo 11 landed on the moon, everyone from their village and the surrounding areas came to their house to listen to the moon landing on the radio. And they said, when we heard you succeeded, we felt like we did it. And everyone was hugging and cheering and crying and jumping up and down. And they were proud that America had done it, because they said Russia had been trying to convince the Turkish people that they had landed on the moon. And so... they said, when we heard it was America, which represented freedom, they were so proud and felt, you know, proud that humans had accomplished this amazing thing. They said afterwards, everyone calmed down and they went outside and everyone was quiet, sitting on the ground looking up at the moon. And I said, what were you thinking? And they said, we realized we could aim higher for our dreams. Humans were on the moon. You know, they were going to just try to graduate high school. That was a huge step up from their parents and maybe become teachers. But they said, we realized we didn't have to settle for that. Humans had landed on the moon. And so the older sister went on to get her PhD in quantum physics, and the younger sister got her MBA. And then they were like, and now we've hired you to speak at our leadership conference. Like, our father would be beside himself. And so I'm just like crying, like listening to this.
I'm crying listening to you.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, like this realization of what, this is what I have witnessed over and over and over, is people explaining like what that moment did to the world. And I always tell people, it's like the one event in recorded human history where the world celebrated a positive achievement for humanity. And so I've been the witness to these stories over and over and over. But this one in particular stuck with me because they were women and they were girls. And this moment lit a spark within them to aim higher, you know. So that's why I thought, wow, you know, I can relate to this. I'm a girl from South Dakota who came from a very humble background, one of 10 children, and I wanted to travel the world. And people would always say to me, I was 8 years old, I remember saying, I'm going to travel the world. And people are like, you know, keep dreaming, little girl. And I was like, I find a way. I'm going to figure out a way to do this. Oh, you know? Yeah. And so, so I could relate to these women, because I always say, you could never predict the trajectory of my life, the way that I grew up in South Dakota, to going all over the world with men who walked on the moon. And so if I could try to, maybe this was my next mission, my purpose, this, maybe this is what this has led me to. I was the steward of Buzz Aldrin's legacy, but maybe now my responsibility is to try to remind people of all this, these stories that I've heard, and then hopefully light that spark of purpose within others, or that light that spark of believing they could do something that people tell them is impossible. Or like I say, if your circumstances or whatever you come from, it is possible to do something which seems impossible, you know, if you put your mind to it. So that's where the aim higher is, like, aim higher for what, you know, society or what people tell you, aim higher. You can do it. I'm living proof. These ladies are living proof, you know? So that's the idea behind it. And the female astronauts especially have joined me in this mission because they too, you know, have often exceeded society's expectations or you know, what society maybe has told them was possible for them as women. And so that's the reasoning behind all of this.
Well, I might be like your biggest fan now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh gosh. Yeah, guys, because I need to recoup a little. I'm known as the weeping one on this show.
You're sitting on a wealth of information. This needs to be made into a documentary, these interviews, or put into a book or something. That, I mean, it, just to have that, people telling their experiences of Buzz to Buzz, especially stories like this, it's incredible. It has to be.
You should have like a tissue box warning on it, though.
You should also have a tissue box warning with it. Yes.
But this is why, I mean, do you see why it's so when I started the foundation too, I had people say, oh, space, I don't care about space. Space has nothing to do with me. And I'm like, man, there's a huge awareness gap. And I think I was like the average American, where before I met Buzz and Neil, I didn't know there was more than moonwalkers than those guys. I didn't know there was more than one moon landing. And I think that's what average American is like. Everybody had maybe known the name Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. But so that's why I'm like, man, I know all these guys. And I got welcomed into this world. And then when people talk about space being wasteful or not, you know, something that doesn't matter to them, I'm like, man, maybe I can help tell this story because I'm one of these people. And this is where my tagline has come now for Space for a Better World, is I'm trying to connect the space curious to the space serious. Because I was a space curious person who came into deep space, and I'm in deep space now. But there's got to be some way to bring those worlds together, to see the value in space, to where we spent Nicole Stott just said this to me, they spent $220 billion on the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And yet,
right?
What it will take to get to the moon is like a fraction of that cost to send humans back to the moon, and the technologies we'll get out of that and the inspiration we'll get out of it is beyond measure, really. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think, okay, if maybe with astronauts and with me, the simple girl from South Dakota who has gotten to travel the world with astronauts, maybe somehow we can convince not just regular people, but people with influence to value space technology and what we've learned from space exploration. It's amazing. A big goal.
It's a worthy goal. I love that you brought in the World Cup and the spending on that, because you see this happen in the industry so often, where people are like, why waste all this money on space exploration when there's so many problems on Earth? And then you're like, what? Like, is anyone, you know, pointing fingers at that NFL stadium that just got built, which it still like blows my mind that the NFL is a nonprofit. Like, like, oh my gosh. Like, we're going to have to wrap it up. I really want to let the guys, throw in any last questions. Cause I always feel like I'm dominating sometimes the conversation, but do you guys have anything, any last, like, I don't even know how to follow any of that up. You made me cry. In my own show.
The one thing that you reminded me of just at the end there was this idea of using space to inspire and to get The Next Generation to aim higher. It really reminds me of Rona Ramon. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the story of Ilan Ramon, the Columbia astronaut, and his late wife Rona, who basically went through the tragedy of losing her husband Ilan in in the space shuttle disaster, and then losing her son, who was an Air Force pilot. And then at that point, the only expectations that society had for her was just like, just survive, you know, just don't be depressed and let that take over your life. And she basically turned her entire life, her entire legacy into this educational outreach, just a foundation, which used space to inspire in the same way that you're describing now. And it's kind of like that level of inspiration is something that you can only see from people who have really truly had hardship in their lives and pushed through it. And connecting that to space, to me, just, yeah, it just, it fits in really perfectly with that same idea of space to inspire. So yeah, it's,
I met her son too. I met him before he was at Kennedy Space Center for an event. And I met him. So yeah, it's kind of amazing how, you know, you meet, and I think that's the best of space, to be honest. I mean, you know, that's why, like, when Apollo 1, when they lost the Apollo 1 crew, they all were like, we cannot let their sacrifice be in vain. We have to keep pushing forward. We can't just give up. We all know the risk. We're all willing to take the risk. And that's, I think, something that is a good reminder for everybody, because people have become, just society in general, has become so risk-averse that we just will stagnate, you know? So, you know, I feel like if I have an opportunity to take what I've learned and this access that I've gained and do something good with it and hopefully light the spark in another kid and inspire my own kids, I have an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old, you know, then it matters. Then it matters. If I can do it, and even if I can just make a difference or light that spark in one kid, then it's worth doing.
I'm going to cry again, Benjamin.
No.
Why don't you finish? This is me. This is me. This is what I do.
All right. Well, I have a question. I heard you quote something that Buzz said in one of the interviews you gave, where he said that they've never thrown a ticker tape parade for a rover. I love that quote. And I was wondering, do you think that the first person to return to the moon or the first person to go to Mars would, in this day and age, receive that kind of a hero's welcome when they come back? And do you think it would kind of reinvigorate that need for the general public to see space exploration like we did in the 60s?
That kind I think, you know, that unfortunately people have become like blasé about astronauts who go to low Earth orbit because it's not very far away. And there's always people up there and people don't pay attention. And even my dad at one point was like, well, they go to space all the time. What's the big deal? But there's a huge difference than when they're sending them that far away. And I do think the Artemis program has the potential to excite the world the same way that the Apollo missions did. And especially to see the first woman walk on the moon. Absolutely. I mean, and I've had a lot of guys say to me, hey, it's not just the women who are excited to see this. You know, it's exciting for the guys too, you know, to see, especially younger generations who I think are very supportive, are a lot more open-minded about gender equality and that sort of thing. You know, I do often have guys attack me behind, like in DMs. Why do you have to promote the women? Why do you have, what? And I'm like, in case you haven't noticed, I'm a woman. It's pretty doggone hard to get to where I am, but that being said, I mean, yes, I believe that it's the human in human spaceflight. I think it's, you know, all of this technology is still about connecting humans. And even when we're sending rovers to Mars, it's about finding life, right? So, I mean, it is still about this search for life and connecting life. And so I do think that, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine once we do finally send humans to Mars. You know, that will be a big deal. It is so much harder and so much farther away than going to the moon. But even still, it's been 50 years since we sent humans to the moon. So sending humans, sending a woman, sending an international crew. Yes, I think that that's what it will take. Because people don't get so excited about hardware. Maybe the super geeks do. But ultimately, it's about rooting for other humans, right?
So, right.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and I, as a fellow mother, I'm very much looking forward to watching the day that the next person, no matter who it is, the next human steps foot on the moon with them, with my kids. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen it. And I get to watch that for the first time with my children. And that is a really like special experience for me. We need to wrap it up. I'm so sorry. Yeah, just throw out your where to follow you again one more time. Everybody who's listening to this show can figure it out. That you're on iRock, you can figure out how to follow the rest of us. But Christina, you shout out your handles one more time and we will wrap this up.
Yeah, you can follow everything I'm doing with the astronauts at spaceforabetterworld.com or handle at spacefabworld or me, xtina, xtina underscore korp.
And if for anything, just to see her jump in sometimes inappropriate places. So, I mean, if there's a reason to follow someone like jumping at Stephen Hawking's funeral, I feel like that's a worthy cause to follow. So thank you so much for joining us, Christina. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. We love this space for good. I cried twice on the show, so obviously it is a...
that's a record, by the way.
Special. Yeah, that was a record. Yeah. I maybe cry every once in a while.
A few times next time.
But thank you again, like I said, to everyone listening, and we hope you join us next week and have a great that you had a great holiday season, and we will talk to you again next week. You are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds and special guest Christina here on iRock Space Radio.